Going to be reading from 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We look at society around us today and we see fear, anxiety, stress, worry. And you would think that maybe this was always been a part of life, but it is in epidemic proportions in our society today. There was a couple of sociologists who did a study back in the 20s. They went to this little American town and looked for anxiety, fear, and depression, and all those kinds of things, and found none of it. Dale Carnegie, when he wrote his best-selling book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, when he did research, went to the libraries and places, found no resources on worry. You look in the card catalog, if those of you remember card catalogs, it went from worms to worship. There was nothing about worry. Albert Camus, the French existentialist, that's a mouthful, philosopher, called the 20th century the century of fear. People today are anxious. Anxiety affects everybody. People are popping pills, taking tranquilizers, and doing drugs in record numbers. We are strung out, uptight, hypertensive, on edge, with blood pressure medications also being taken in record numbers. The truth is, whether you're young or old, rich or poor, you either have trouble, just came out of trouble, or are about to get into trouble. Everybody has trouble at one time or another, some more than others. So the question is raised, is there a cure for the care and the worry? Is there a solution to the stress? There is. Peter tells us there is a solution, and that solution to anxiety and stress and worry is humility. Humble yourself before God. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And remember that everything happens in God's time, not our time. Peter outlines four steps to help us get up when things are down. First thing is we have to surrender our will to God. In verse 5, he talks about being clothed with humility. The Greek word for clothed is a word that literally means to tie a knot. And what he's referring to is back in his time, the slaves, the servants, would put on an apron and tie a knot before they did anything for their master. So we are to put on humility because we are servants to God. Servants, slaves, have no will of their own. They only do what the master desires. The whole life of a servant is summed up in submission and service. Slaves and servants have two duties. They do the master's will and they do the master's work. And that requires humility. And that is God's highway to happiness. That's his plan for our happiness. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God's way of life is the way up is down. If you want to get ahead, you must get low before God. And God will take you higher than you ever expected yourself. You are to humble yourselves. And I think most of us, in one way or another, I know I have at times been humbled by God. Better to humble yourself than for God to do it for you. Trust me, if you haven't been through that. We see people a lot of the times in corporations, in churches, who move to the top really fast. But once they get up there, because they got up there so fast, they don't know what to do. And then they fail. So they may shoot up like a rocket, but they fall like a rock because they weren't ready for it. The second thing that Peter tells us is to send your worry to God, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. All Christians have cares. Contrary to what other people might think when they look at Christians, they think we have the perfect life. Nothing ever goes wrong. Christian life is just smooth sailing. And you and I both know that is not the truth. We have cares and worries and concerns just like anybody else in society. It's not all joy and no pain. The word for care literally means burdens. It refers to worries, and we are told that that is just a part of life. But he says, cast your cares conclusively. The word cast means to throw something on something else. When they brought the donkey to Jesus and they cast their cloaks onto the donkey, they were casting the whole cloak on the donkey. Cast and threw are synonymous. And that is exactly what we are supposed to do with our worries. We are supposed to throw our worries or cast our cares onto the strong back of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your cares on Him. Lay your burdens at His feet. If you were to make a deposit at a bank, you don't worry about the money because you know they're going to take care of it. You get your receipt and you walk out the door and that's the end of it. And that's the way it should be with Christ. If you go to Him with a care or a concern or a worry, leave it there. Don't take part of it with you. We have to cast our cares completely. He says, cast your whole care upon Him. You're not only to give Him every care we have, we're supposed to give Him every part of every care we give Him. But we have a tendency to try to figure things out ourselves. And then when we can't figure it out, we take it to God. We should take it to God first and just leave the whole thing there. Let Him guide us as to what we are supposed to do, how we're supposed to get there, how we're supposed to get out of this problem that we're in. He will help you with that. But you've got to give it to Him completely. And yes, God allows troubles to happen in our lives. He allows trouble to happen in our lives to wake us up, force us back to faith, drive us from doubt. If life was smooth sailing all the time, why worry about anything? Why even worry about God? But if you find that you need God, that's important. So troubles happen in our lives sometimes to bring us back because we may have gotten too comfortable in our lives and maybe pushed God to the back a little bit. We have to be sure and give it all to God. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." He wants your burdens. He wants all of your burdens. There's a funny little story about a grandfather who had never flown. His grandchildren decided they were going to arrange for him to fly in an airplane. So they chartered this little airplane, and he got in it, and he flew around. The pilot showed him his house and a little bit of the countryside. And when he landed, the grandchildren ran up to him and said, "Well, what did you think?" He looked at his grandchildren in a shaky voice and said, "Well, it was all right, but I never did put my full weight down." And that's the way we are. We don't put our full weight down. We don't put the whole burden in God's hands. We worry because we really don't want to cast all of that there. We want to keep a little bit of it for ourselves. But we have to cast the whole thing completely on God. And cast your cares confidently. We cast our cares on God, on the Lord, because He cares for you. Peter says He cares for you. Now, the word care in the Greek language is in present tense, which means continuous action. So in other words, when you cast your cares upon the Lord, we should do it in all ways, every day, in every way, because He cares about it. He doesn't just constantly care about us. He continuously cares about us. One of the biggest lies in society is nobody cares. Nobody cares for you. God does. No matter who you are, He cares. He cares about us from womb to tomb, cradle to grave, and everywhere in between. The third thing Peter tells us is we have to strengthen our walk with God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't really realize, following the truth will never be able to deal with trouble. You never will be able to handle life when life is in the pits. Truth is, you have an enemy who never rests and never sleeps. He knows your strengths, he knows your weaknesses, and he's always looking for an opportunity to get into your life. Winston Churchill, speaking to the House of Commons one time, said, "We must always be ready to meet at our average moment anything that any possible enemy could hurl at us at his selected moment." Lord has given us ample warning about what to watch out for and how the devil follows us around. Dogs are every step, looks for ways to hurt us, harm us, destroy us. But God has given us a remedy for that. He tells us to be serious about the devil. When he says sober, he's not talking about drinking alcohol. He's talking about be serious. You have to take the devil seriously. He's not some little man on a can of potted meat with horns and a red tail. He's for real. He is your adversary. The word for adversary refers to a legal opponent in a lawsuit. In the book of Revelations, he's called the accuser of the brethren. He is hell's district attorney trying to find a case against you, how to condemn you. The word for devil in Greek is diabolos, which means slanderer. He's always trying to dig up dirt on you, rattle skeletons in your closet, bring up those past sins that were long ago confessed and forgiven, try to rob you of your joy in your salvation. So you had better be serious about the reality of Satan. And be sensitive to the devil's ferociousness. We are to be vigilant, to be awake, to be alert. We need to keep our spiritual radar going 24/7. Don't ever let your guard down, because he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lions are very forceful. A lion is 14 to 21 times stronger than a man. For those of you that remember Tarzan wrestling the lion and winning, ain't going to happen. That lion's going to win. They are that much stronger than a man. You would have to have superhuman strength to defeat a lion. And you need supernatural strength to beat the devil. They are ferocious. Peter calls this as a roaring lion. A lion's roar can actually be heard for 5 miles. It is so deep and so loud that if you were standing next to a lion when he roared, you would actually vibrate. That's why Peter uses that example. That's why he compares a lion to Satan. And most of the roaring that the lion does is in the cover of darkness, just like Satan. He sneaks around in the darkness. 3 a.m. in the morning is actually considered soul's midnight, because apparently more people die at about 3 a.m. in the morning in hospitals than any other time. And it's always darkest before the dawn, between 3 and 6 a.m. That's when they do most of their roaring. It's always darkest just before the dawn. We are told to watch out for that. He is looking for whom he may devour. Lions can eat 30% of their body weight in one sitting. That would be like a 150-pound man eating 200 Big Macs in one sitting. Can you imagine? They are always looking to devour you. Satan is always looking to create fear through his roar, which paralyzes you, and an advantage for attack. Satan's best and favorite tool is fear. And that is why in the Bible there are 365 instances where God says, "Fear not," or some derivative of that. 365 of those, one for every day of the year. He's letting us know we have no fear. Don't let the devil cause fear in your life. We also have to be steadfast against his hostility. Resist him. Steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We all suffer. We all suffer, some of us, the same things. You see on Facebook every once in a while, be careful how you treat somebody. Be nice to somebody, because you don't know what they're going through. We all suffer. We all suffer. James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Peter says, by being steadfast in the faith. It's about faith that we defeat the devil. It's about faith that we get through the troubles that we see, the suffering that we go through. There's this little story about a lion going through the jungle, and I guess he wanted to reassure himself. He sees a little rabbit, and he says, "Little rabbit, who is the king of the jungle?" And the rabbit looks up at him and says, "Oh, mighty lion, you are the king of the jungle." He comes across a monkey. He says, "Monkey, who is the king of the jungle?" "Oh, mighty lion, you are the king of the jungle." Finally, he came up upon a bull elephant. He let out a mighty roar and said, "Dumbo, who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant wrapped his big trunk around the lion, picked him up like he was paper, and slammed him against a tree. As the lion slid down that tree, he looked at the elephant and said, "Just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean you have to get sore about it." We can win against the devil by having faith, because God is stronger than the devil. This battle between good and evil is not something that is even and going on all the time. Yes, there is a roaring lion, Satan, and he may be the king of the world, but our lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, is the king of the universe. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Paul closes those verses with what amounts to a doxology. He talks about three things: grace, grief, and glory. The grace we now enjoy. Whenever you go through troubles, have you sometimes thought that God's asleep at the wheel? You think to yourself, where are you? Why are you letting this happen? You may even think, maybe he doesn't care. But we are told he is the God of all grace. And every single time you are in deep water, or no matter how hot the fire is, God's grace is always at work, and it always works. But may the God of all grace, who is called to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yes, you're going to go through stormy seas. But when you come out of that storm, you will be better for it, stronger for it, and more settled. And that's what grace is all about. God never promised us it would be smooth sailing. He promised us a safe landing at the end. God's grace is a saving grace because it perfects. It's a securing grace because it establishes. It is a strengthening grace because it strengthens. God's grace is surviving grace because it settles. And that's why we are told, thy grace is sufficient for me. But he says, after you suffer for a while. God's son suffered. What makes us better than him? We're going to suffer. All of us, our brothers and sisters, we suffer in life. It builds character. It builds strength. God allows troubles to happen sometimes to bring us back to him. We have to wake up, have the faith, have strength. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Give glory to the God. When you come out the other side of this trouble or suffering, give the glory to God. Never forget it. Grief is inescapable, but grace is unavoidable. We have a promise that grief one day will, by grace, be transformed into glory. I'm sure we all remember the hymn, God Will Take Care of You. Part of it goes like this: be not dismayed, whate'er betide, whatever happens, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. We live under his protection. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, over all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. So no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard the devil is after you, and I've realized, and some of you may have realized, it seems like the closer you get to God, the harder he tries. But you can think of that as a good thing. Just like James 1, consider it joy when you go through these sufferings, because that means you're closer to God. Because the devil has to try that much harder to try and get to you. But God's grace is there. His love is there. God cares about us. God wants to take care of us. Clothe yourself in humility. Humble yourself before God. Prostrate yourself low before God, and he will lift you up.
Amen, Pastor.
And he will give you success and happiness. But you have to be willing to put yourself down low before God. Humble yourself. Don't be proud. Humble yourself. Because that's what we need to do. And God will take care of each and every one of you. Every day, in every way. Amen.